Hey, what's up? We were just talking about the insanity in the control room tonight. All right, Craig, we lost the screen again. All right, so if we were to run for office, let's have some fun. So I talked to, so it came on for a second. It's got to be a loose thing. The Andrew Yang, who's running for president on Rebel headquarters, okay? And he's an interesting cat. He's not a politician. He started a business. He sold it, presumably made good money. And now he's going all over Iowa and New Hampshire saying, you know what, I'm going to do universal basic income. And I got news for you. The robots are taking your jobs. They already took a lot of them. They're going to take more. And he's right about that. And he's like, here's the part that's going to get you. He's like, why do we look at GDP?
He's like, oh, he's so smart.
Okay, he's like, why don't we do look at median wages? Why don't we look at quality of life? Why don't we do a measurement about that and improve that? Because that actually would improve the lives of real people in the country. I've already got him in the top four. Not in where he's going to finish. I mean, the media, as soon as the big dogs show up, I asked him, like, are you getting invited to things? Are you going? And he's like, yeah, it's like me, John Delaney, Tim Ryan, Tulsi Gabbard. That was interesting. Okay. So the big dogs haven't showed up yet, but when they do, they'll elbow him out and the press will be like, hey, Andrew Yang, with your sensible ideas, get the hell out of here, right? And they'll totally blockade him. So, but in terms of like people that I like, I mean, he was 1,000 times more sensible than the average politician. I was like, interesting, right? So, anyways, so what do you think? Like, I would run, you know me, I'd run crazy strong. Right? But people, like conventional wisdom is, no, that turns people off. Don't do that, right? Every consultant would be like, no, you're going to turn off, first thing they tell me is you're going to turn off women voters, okay? And you're going to turn off older voters, et cetera, right? But then I keep thinking, is it me or are my lying eyes deceiving me? Isn't Donald Trump president? And he's he ran pretty strong, and he's super rude, right?
And very unlikable.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I think, okay, I'm having a conversation with myself here. I'm going to let you finish in a second, dog, but I'm going to let you start in a second, dog.
Okay.
But I feel like, but is it different on the Democratic side? Like for Republicans, they're like, yes. When do we seek and destroy, right? On the progressive side, would people be into it? Or would they be like, Cenk, that does seem rather rude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. And the reason why I say I don't know is because progressives and people on the left in general love to critique one another. Like we love it. Right, and when I say we, I'm actually not including myself. But we have such insanely high standards for our political group, and it's frustrating sometimes because sometimes the criticisms are fair, but like not timed well. Like the Elizabeth Warren thing, where like she does the DNA test, and then immediately Native Americans go after her. Like I get it, I get it, right? But understand the real enemy. The real enemy is the person calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas and calling you guys Indians. So maybe don't give Donald Trump fodder or whatever to continue attacking her. Anyway, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. Here's the thing that I do know. You just have to be authentic and you have to be yourself. And not as a strategy, although I do think that it's more effective to be authentic, but because it's who you are. And I don't think you could do anything else.
Oh, I mean, look, this is, of course, a totally ridiculous hypothetical, theoretical conversation, right? So, but what would, like, if you and I were to run, what would be the point of running as a fake politician? Like, why ruin your life to do something annoying and weird and unproductive and uninteresting?
Right?
Like, no, if you're going to do it, the whole point is to run as who we are, right?
I just want to yell at people. So,
Right?
So all the like, because you guys don't know. I have, and I'm sure you do too, like doing this job and seeing these types of interactions that we see, like with Jim Acosta and Donald Trump, like you wish you were in the room Yeah. Because you feel, like you feel things. And I feel things, and I never really get an opportunity, to get those in a productive way, express those feelings, other than like talk about it on the show, right?
So let me. Are you crazy? You reach billions of people. I think that's a
pretty productive
way.
I get that. I get that. But it's not. I want to take it to the man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example, and this was, people don't know this, but it was a big moment for me. And I loved every moment of it. Okay, so in the last Politicon, I didn't debate anyone, but I was on a panel where I was the only panelist supporting Medicare for All.
Of course. Right.
So no one knows this. I didn't talk about this with anyone other than Christian, but Bill Kristol was on the panel. And Bill Kristol had no idea that I have been hating him since I was in 11th grade.
Good for you.
I'm being serious.
I mean, this is, look, Anna, I'm now beginning to believe that you are a warrior princess. Okay. That's why I like the t-shirt design with you in it the most. Because you were like, Wasikirlan, right? Like, say, almost like too strong. And like, and you know what pushed me over the top even more? Mm-hmm. I was already there, but it further buttressed it.
Mm-hmm.
Buttress is a word I enjoy.
Yeah. I like it too.
Is how badly you're kicking our ass in the competition, okay?
I don't know how that happened, but.
No, it's because I think people, like, you strike a chord in people. I think that they like that you're a warrior princess. Like, that, I think that that's badass.
Thank you.
All right, so what were you thinking about poor Bill Kristol?
Yeah,
in
no, not poor Bill Kristol. So back during the Bush administration, when Bush decided to go to war, I was still in high school, and I remember being in English class and reading about it when I shouldn't have been reading about it. I was supposed to be paying attention in class. But anyway, I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna go to war. And one of the people that was pushing to go to Iraq was Bill Kristol. So like, I'm in high school, I don't know who Bill Kristol is, but once I see a name and they do or say something that I don't like, I become obsessed with like finding out who they are. So I start researching him and learning more about him. And I just kept thinking to myself, this Bill Kristol guy is bad news. He keeps encouraging us to go to war, and I don't like it. And I wish I could really tell him how I really feel right now.
Okay, your new nickname is gonna be Xena.
Okay.
But yeah, I have a. Mm-hmm.
So when Politicon happened this year and it was announced that Bill Kristol was gonna be on the panel, I was like, oh my God, my dreams have come true. So it was my opportunity. I mean, obviously the conversation wasn't about the war in Iraq, but it was all years and years of pent up anger and frustration over that ridiculous preemptive war. Like, I never had an outlet, like a real outlet. I never had an opportunity to like make him pay for his actions. So like, I thought about it, I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna embarrass him during this Medicare for All panel, because I know the facts are on my side, and I did embarrass him. He showed up, homeboy showed up, okay, this is how badly I destroyed him, okay? No, but I'm being serious.
No, you're being honest, there's nothing you could do about it.
At one point, he was doing so poorly, and he was so unprepared that he took out like a little piece of paper that had notes on it.
Uh-huh.
And the notes said concepts and some bullet points.
Did it say freedom?
I couldn't read what the bullet points said, but I saw the headline or whatever, the title that said concepts. And like, as I'm talking, he's like looking, and he won't take his hand, like eyes off of this little piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And when you're debating someone on an issue and they take out their notes, you've won.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, your notes won't save you. Because I just spent a good deal of time like doing oppo research on you, learning everything there is about you. So here, let me tell you one of my tactics. This is one of the things I prepared for the debate.
Hold, mm-hmm. hold. So that's, I can't wait. Okay, but I'm going to do a disposition on fate in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you have that to look forward to. And, but when he, you said your notes will not help you. I pictured the, Lost Ark scene, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark scene, where the guys are with the swords, and Harrison Ford's like, "Yeah, boom, your notes will not save you." Okay.
So, you know, in my research on Bill Kristol, I found out that he's a big supporter of Israel, and I was like, This is perfect because guess which country offers universal health care?
Oh, boom. Drop it.
So my opening line when they finally got to me was, you know, one of the countries that actually does healthcare right is Israel. They offer universal healthcare. And, you know, you guys are talking about how, I'm paraphrasing, you guys should watch the whole interaction, but I said something along the lines of, you know, isn't it kind of funny how they can somehow miraculously fund, pay for, and offer universal healthcare to their people, but we still give them $3 billion a year in foreign aid. I mean, if they have enough money to offer universal healthcare and we can't, then do we really need to be giving them that money? I said something along those lines.
Ooh, look at that twist. You know, playing the role of Bill Crystal's janky girl. Where's my goddamn notes? Where's my fucking notes?
And he loves.
There's no Israel in the notes. What the fuck?
He's a huge supporter of Israel, so he can't turn around and criticize their healthcare, criticize what they're doing.
Man, Anna Kasparian ain't nothing to fuck with.
It was fun.
Okay.
It was a good time.
I'm thinking of conceding the competition preemptively. My inner Democrat came out.
Believe me, I've lost a lot of things, like that 1 mile race. You know, like I don't win in everything, but if I put my mind to something, and I'm a confident person, I will do it. And I wanted to destroy him in that, and I think I did a good job. In fact, behind the scenes, afterwards, a couple people that we work with overheard him saying something along the lines of, "Man, she's sharp. She came prepared."
Yeah,
it felt good.
Yeah, love it. Okay. I'm gonna go to fate.
Okay.
So this young child walks into the Young Turk studios many, many years ago, many moons ago. And we have a, and so she's working at CBS Radio or whatever, right? And we have Jill Pike at the time. Jill Pike happens to leave, and so this child is with us. This child doesn't even know who Robert De Niro is.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The one that really sticks out at me.
I knew who Bill Crystal was, but I did not know who Robert De Niro was. Yeah.
And she decides to stay, which is curious because most don't. Okay, like you remember, if for some of you have heard the story, others have not. So when Anna first came in, she was referred by a friend of hers who worked at the same CBS radio station, who left the Young Turks for two reasons. She's like, "Yeah, no, not interested." Plus, she got run over by a truck.
A bus.
Yes. She literally got run over by a bus.
She's okay, but yeah, okay. She got hit by a bus.
Funny story. No, it's not. She's totally fine. She's totally fine. The bus, if the bus had run into Anna, the bus would be like, "Oh, good luck. I'm a herd dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right." Anyway, so she suggests to Anna. Anna comes, and you might have heard the story from her perspective, where she's like, "Okay, these guys are crazy, and there's human feces in the stairwell." And Kohler asked me to go behind this set, the earlier set that we had, and okay, and it's 3 a.m, and I don't know if everything's gonna be okay over here, right? But from our perspective, we're like, "Oh, okay, you know, she's smart, mm-hmm. and so great, and she's willing to work here, and she's smart." Well, that's pretty lucky, right? And you know, and the more you go, and the luckier we think we are. But secretly, I'm also thinking, I mean, you're lucky. I mean, mm-hmm. how do you? The personality you have, mm-hmm. and the passion, the fervor you have, how do you walk into the one place, mm-hmm. super randomly in the country, that's doing the type of thing that's just right for you, right?
Yeah, no. I know luck when I see it. So yeah, I mean, okay. So I don't know if I've ever told you this, but after experiencing the poo in the stairwell, after seeing what the studio looked like and realizing that this might not really be a real operation. Like I didn't know, you guys were such a startup at that time. Like I thought to myself, I don't know if they're even gonna really be able to pay me. I don't think I'm gonna come back. But you show up and you came in like kind of late, like the show was about to start and you like kind of rush in, you sit down. And you start like going after the Bush administration. And remember, I'm at CBS Radio at the time. That's my real job at the time. And it was like they're playing patty cakes, and it would drive me crazy. I'm like, oh my God, this place is miserable. And this, if I stay here at this well-established place, the best I could hope for is a job anchoring where I'm just reading what someone else wrote for me. I'm not sharing any real analysis. I didn't really care about opinion, but I just wanted to tell the truth at least. And there was none of that because everyone's so afraid of making it seem like or having someone think that they're sharing opinion. So then you come in and you go nuts over the Bush administration. And remember, I got Bill Kristol in my head. I'm angry about Iraq. I'm scared about my future about the country and all that. And it was I don't know, just hearing it made me feel good. And I was like, I want to be here. I want to be part of this. So if you had taken that day off or whatever and someone else had come in, I don't think I'd be here. Like you were the main reason, the main factor that convinced me that this was where I needed to be.
Well, that's very sweet of you. So but you know, now I wanted to turn around though and say, like, now, like hearing the Bill Kristol story, I now go back to thinking, no, we got luckier than you did, right? Because mm-hmm. that is a hell of a thing to find someone just when you needed them, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That has that passion, that cares about real journalism, that bothered to be angry at Bill Kristol in 11th grade, right? That is a hell of a fucking straw we drew, right? So then that's why I went, like, all that stuff was going through my head as you were telling the 11th grade Bill Kristol story in English class. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, wait a minute, is there such a thing as fate? Like that, both those levels of luck are so extraordinary mm-hmm. that you, like, it made me wonder for a second. See, Craig and I were having a trippy conversation before we got started in the postgame about, you know, there is no such thing as time, right? Mm-hmm. Because have you ever been in the past? No, I mean, you can't be in the past. Have you ever been in the future? Well, obviously you can't be in the future. There's only the present, mm-hmm. but yet there is a past and a future. That's trippy, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about stuff like that, maybe you were always meant to walk in at that time in the movie of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The world works in weird ways, and I do believe in fate. But I also believe that when opportunities are presented to you, especially when you're young, take them. Say yes to everything. And I remember when the TYT opportunity presented itself, I had a conversation with my boyfriend at the time, and he's like, Anna, you're already working a lot. You have a lot going on. Don't do this. You're gonna stress yourself out. It's like you're needlessly gonna take an extra job that you don't need. And I'm so glad that I took it because I hated working at CBS Radio, hated it. I was so miserable. That was why I applied for that political science graduate program, because I'm like, I need to go back to school and figure this out.
Yeah, no, I've now reached three other conclusions. By the way, the original conversation about running for office, who cares? Okay.
We should have that conversation though, maybe later.
Another day. But three conversations, we'll conclude. Then we got old school coming up tonight, as you guys know. So number one, I realized this, you were just talking there. Oh my God, the bus was part of fate.
Oh no.
The person you replaced got run over by a bus. I mean, how's that for being part of the movie, right?
It's pretty crazy.
So that is pretty nuts. Secondly, I had a vision of the future. This I'm good at. Even though the future doesn't exist, I had a vision of it. You're gonna be huge.
Oh, come on. I'm not gonna be huge because okay. I don't know. There's like a certain characteristic that people need to have to be huge, and I don't have it.
No, I know what it is. It's shamelessness.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
Right, I know, but no, not everybody. I mean, I don't think Gandhi was shameless. I'm not comparing you to Gandhi, but mm-hmm. like I don't think Gandhi was shameless. I don't think Bernie's shameless. Mm-hmm. So I think you can do good in the world and get big. No, because there is a strength in you that I think other women gravitate towards. Guys too, of course, right? But that you could be a real role model. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, me, sure, there's plenty of guys like me, right? Well, I don't know about that, but there's enough, right? But you're a hell of a unique character, Zena. So I don't know. I saw a vision there, and that was interesting. Okay, maybe that's because I'm high right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm not high. Later, that's a different question. No. Okay. And then the last trippy part of this conversation. And by the way, do I really believe in fate? I don't know. I don't know what to, when you get into metaphysics, I don't know what to believe. Okay, mm-hmm. But. Right now, I'm picturing Dave Kohler watching this go, it's nonsense, total nonsense.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, so, but wait, if it is fate, mm-hmm. does that mean that we are going to make it and that we're going to do even bigger and more amazing things? Because I don't think fate messes around with insignificance. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. oh, fate brought Bob and Sally together so they could date for 2 months and then have an ugly breakup. And then nothing happens, yeah. Right? Okay, now Dave's really losing his mind. Yep. Like, there's no fate! What, you guys are having a nonsense conversation. Okay. But hey, look, I ask questions. That's all I do. It's not remotely all I do, but you see what I'm saying. All right, guys, we'll just leave it at that question. And you know what? No, super duper last thing. The next 2 years, let me say something really amazing here. Are you ready? The next 2 years are going to be really interesting. Because, I mean, 2018 was like a kind of a weird question mark, kind of like a limbo, a purgatory, right? 2019 and 2020 is going to be filled with unbelievable action. And twists and turns and dramatic developments in the country. Dramatic, right? So what role will we play? Only one way to find out. We'll see you there.